Blog Talk Radio.
Which means we're here. Welcome to the premiere episode of Speaking of Everything. I'm Jeff Bushman, and we will be, as the title suggests, we won't be speaking of everything. We will be talking about politics from a moderate/progressive point of view, also business from a capitalist point of view, and a number of other things, but we will likely skip things that frankly don't interest me at all, like geology, archaeology, meteorology, with the possible exception of what's the weather like where you are tonight. That's pretty much it. Everything else is pretty much fair game. We have some specific plans for coming weeks. Tonight we'll have no interview guests as such, although you're welcome to call in and talk about any of those subjects and more. The call-in number for you to call in if you are interested in participating is area code 347-994-3796. If I haven't introduced myself yet, I'll do it. I'm Jeff Bushman. And in terms of other subjects and other plans for the show, in coming weeks, the plan is to have some people who are going to be talking about some electronic gadgets, and I'll get specific on that in just a moment, along with people who make or are interested in solar power and other ways to produce energy other than oil. And we'll also be talking about jazz, one of my loves, and the subject of radio itself. In terms of electronic gadgets, I am a freak for this stuff. I don't have everything I want. I have the usual complement of gadgets that I'm sure most of you have, including the iPod and, of course, a cell phone, all the rest of that. But this one product that we're going to be talking about, it's actually two products we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks, is from a company that makes what look like record players, for those of you who remember that, or a turntable. And what these are is they will record from an old LP, a record album, to either a CD or will create MP3s, which you can then play on an iPod or other MP3 player. So if you're interested in that, of course, tune in again next week and the week after and so forth. But the reason that interests me in particular, and I suspect probably some of you, and obviously we have no way of knowing how many people are listening right now. I suspect it's probably one, maybe two. But there are lots of old record albums out there. I have a number of them, and I'm sure if you don't, you know people who do, including parents, grandparents, and so forth. And at some point in time, turntables are going to become harder and harder to get, and this is a way of preserving that music and other recorded material. And in terms of music, clearly preserving it as MP3s or CDs makes it available to players that you can take with you and have in the gym. That's where I usually listen to my iPod. So that is of some interest. As I mentioned before, this is a call-in. So if you do want to participate, perhaps make suggestions as to what we can be talking about both now and in the coming weeks, you can reach us at 347-994-3796. I would not be surprised if tonight in particular we don't get a lot of calls. I won't be surprised or disappointed if that happens, although I'd be thrilled with calls. In as much as this is the first episode, and frankly, unless you happen to cross us on Blog Talk Radio, you wouldn't know about it because I've only spoken to a couple of people myself in terms of publicizing the show. Let me tell you another reason that I'm doing the show, or I should say a reason. I've recently web-published a book that I wrote called The Mobile Millionaire, and it is about mobile home investing and, of course, wealth creation. You can see that book without charge on the Internet at tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire. Now, to be clearer, the website is tiny, as in puny, small, my height, Anyway, it's tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire, and mobile millionaire is one word. That will take you to the site where the book is located, and there you can look at the PDF of the book. It's excerpted. You won't see the whole book. And, of course, if you like what you read and wish to purchase the book, you can do it there. And that book is based on my own experience. I do buy and rent out mobile homes. I've previously sold them with financing, but now I principally rent them out. If that's of no interest to you, that's perfectly fine. Some of the other things that I've written may be of interest to you. I do write blogs on several subjects, although in some cases I don't do them regularly. Those topics are health and radio and politics. In all of those cases, they are located at Blogspot, and just as an example, it's jeffonradio.blogspot.com. The other items, health and politics, go in place of radio in that website address. In terms of those subjects, in my so-called credentials, I've been a writer all my life, but in terms of politics, I was a political science major in college, the first time I went to college, and that, of course, gives you very little background and knowledge in politics, but it does give you an opportunity to, I guess, explore your interests. And, of course, that's what college is about, too. In the interim, it is a subject in which I've been interested for a long time. Before I go any further, I see we have a caller, and if I'm right on the area code, it's from Florida. So let's see if I can handle this. Let's try it. Are you there? Okay, that didn't work. Let's try it again. How's that? Are you there?
Hello?
Hi. Is
this Hello?
Rick? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, is Howard Stern there?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. How are you? I thought I was calling the Howard Stern Show.
I hope you're not terribly disappointed.
Well, I'll try and live with it. I guess this isn't Howard Stern.
No, he's
Robin?
Taller.
Is this Robin?
No. Well, Robin is also taller.
You sound like a sexy black chick, so... You know.
That well, yeah, I've been accused of that before.
So how have you been, JB?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I should, in the event that anyone else is listening, which is doubtful but possible, I should explain that Rick is an old friend of mine. I'm in Arizona. He is in Florida and is calling from there. Thank you for doing that.
You know, I've been going up and down the radio dial trying to find your show, and I can't find
yes.
it. And that could be the reason why you have no listeners.
That could have something to do with it. Strangely, I was thinking when I first opened of saying, we're on the air, and then I realized that I would have to say, but we're not.
I'm guessing you're on AM, and that's why I haven't...
Well, that must be it. Actually, I'm on PM instead of either AM or FM. Yeah. But anyway, there you are. And, of course, that doesn't even take into account PMS, which I'm suffering now. But there you are.
Yeah, I've
anyway,
been
go ahead,
been
please.
Been listening so far.
Mm-hmm.
Great show so far. I'm very impressed. You've got a great radio voice.
Well, thank you.
For the Internet.
And I also have a great face for radio.
I'm still not sure what a record is. You mentioned something about a turntable.
It's part of the history, you see.
Uh-huh.
They're ancient devices, kind of like a slate and a chisel.
Well, that's fabulous.
Yes, that's fascinating. No, I have no idea if you have any. I was going to say, with regard to records, I don't know if you have any. You probably came up after records, actually, didn't you?
No, I go back to the days of records.
The audio stone age, as it were, yeah.
The audio stone age, yes.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, you know, is that for people who like music but, you know, haunt old music stores, there are obviously a lot of old records available that, you know, sit there gathering dust because there are really relatively few people who have turntables anymore.
You will probably find many of them on eBay.
That's true. That's true. We have a turntable, but we don't play records much. It's mostly, of course, CDs. But they are out there, and as you say, they're on eBay because people are selling them because they don't have an interest in them anymore, or the person who owned the turntable died, and they're selling them as kind of an online estate sale.
Or because comparing them sound wise, they kind of suck.
Well, I'll tell you something. Go ahead.
You're gonna disagree on that.
No, I'm not. I happen to like the sound of CDs and MP3s better. But there are people who are audiophile. I don't want to call them nuts, but audiophile fanatics, let's say, who say they like the sound of the crack and the hiss.
I think they're snobs.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think when you do record records.
Which is why I thought you were going to come out in favor of...
Oh, I see. Thank you very much. Trying to appeal to my inherent snobbery. No, not on this subject. Many others. But, when you record a record, obviously, to a digital format, you only get as good as you start out with. So if, for example, your record has the hisses and the clicks and all that stuff, you're going to get that in the digital version as well that you record too.
Now, I imagine they'll be making a digital version, a digital recording of your show.
to save it for posterity.
And will that be available on iTunes, Jeff?
I don't know. You're the expert on iTunes. Is this something I need to do to make it available on iTunes?
I don't know. But looking at your radio blog homepage, it mentions... iTunes a number of times, so I imagine that they'll be putting you up in a podcast for posterity.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it is. I was actually thinking of trying to be put up for overnight somewhere, but as a preserve. But the what was I going to say? I guess we had exhausted records, but and my records are fairly exhausted anyway. Oh, I was just going to say that there's an album I have. Do you know the name? I don't know why you would. Do you know the name Walter Wanderley?
Walter Wanderley?
Yeah.
Walter?
Yes, Walter.
No.
Walter Wanderley, who I assume has passed away because he was, middle-aged when I was a kid, was a jazz organist. Okay, and there's a joke there probably about a jazz organ. But anyway, he was a jazz organist who primarily played, Brazilian jazz. And I have a couple of his old albums, of course, because he's not producing any new ones if he's dead.
His new album.
Yeah. Say it again. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
You said you have a couple of his old albums. I said as opposed to, of course.
Right, exactly. Album. Yes. And I'm sorry for stepping on you there. But in any event... as a kid, I played them so much that the couple of those tracks, tend to stick.
Uh-huh.
So, clearly that's what you're going to get if, for example, I were to get one of those devices I was referring to earlier, and you record it, that's what you're going to get. You can't, overcome it, as opposed to buying new digital material, which has no flaws. No ceilings either. Yeah.
Now,
yes,
to change the subject off of something of which I know very little about, jazz recordings.
That's all right.
I heard you mention your book.
Yes, sir.
I have to say that it's the first time that I've ever heard mobile homes and wealth used in the same sentence.
Well, that's because when you've heard about I'm sorry?
I said, please explain.
I shall. I was just going to say, that's because when you've heard of mobile homes, where you are, it mostly goes into a sentence involving hurricanes.
Okay. I got to be honest with you. When I've heard of mobile homes, wherever I am,
mm-hmm.
that it evokes pretty much the same image wherever I may be. So, again...
The trailer track. Okay. Basically, mobile homes are, and this is a large portion of the subject of the book, talks about what I've done, which is you buy a mobile home fairly cheaply, and clearly this will vary depending on what part of the country you're in, but where I am, you can buy a two-bedroom, single-wide mobile home easily for $5,000, perhaps a little less now, and then you can rent it out, and on that $5,000, you're going to bring in a net profit, or let's just say a gross profit, each month of $200, roughly, because you have to pay lot rent, but your tenant is paying you, when you rent out that mobile home, about $200 a month more, which makes the return on investment, in the event you're not interested in doing the math, about 48% a year. And that's basically what it is and how you build and how you put additional, if you will, monopoly pieces on the board, creating like horizontal apartment buildings. That's what it's about.
How easy or how difficult is it out where you are to find actual renters for these? You touched on the fact that I'm in Florida, and it's not the whole mobile home concept in Florida is a bad one.
Sure, it should be.
I imagine in Arizona it's a different situation.
Yeah, actually, the only reason I even thought of the fact that there are mobile homes in existence at all in Florida was because I saw it referred to by an author you actually referred me to, which is Carl Hyacin.
Yeah.
And he is, for those who don't know, among our massive listenership, he is a...
Hi, Alicia.
No, actually, not even she is listening at the moment. But anyway,
not even your wife is listening.
Well, she's listening outside because we only have the one system in the house. But anyway,
Did you call our old friend Dan?
No, oddly I didn't. Anyway, so the situation is that I was starting to say Carl Hyacin. Fill in any gaps that I miss, is essentially a writer of, I guess you would call it detective fiction, but it's all humorous. He writes comic novels, I guess you would say. Is that a fair statement?
Didn't he write Striptease?
That sounds familiar, I think so.
The book upon which the Demi Moore stripper movie was based?
Oh, I didn't know that. He may well have, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was him.
Oh, okay.
Sure, not something he's proud of, but...
Yeah, right, right. But anyway...
He did write the book. It was much better than the movie.
Undoubtedly.
And except the movie had Demi Moore's tits. And
I was going to say, for one thing, you didn't have to listen to Demi Moore talk in the book. But anyway, so the thing is, he talked about mobile homes as, you know, a situation where the flim-flam artists buy mobile homes, sell it, and leave town before the hurricane hits. But getting back to mobile homes and renters, no, actually getting renters is pretty easy. And the reason is because you are buying the homes cheaply and the lot rent, which is your obligation if you're the owner, your obligation to the mobile home park in which the home is located, is relatively inexpensive. You can offer these mobile homes for rent. Now, these are not, you know, slum-like properties. You can offer them for inexpensive prices in your market.
Now, I noticed you said they're not slum-like, which could mean that they are slums.
No, they're not. No, they're decent housing. They compare pretty much evenly with whatever you're going to get for an equivalent apartment in terms of, in other words, if you're going to look for a two-bedroom apartment and you want someplace that's decent but not palatial, the mobile homes compare favorably with those apartments. For one thing, they tend to have a greater amount of room than the equivalent apartment. But in any event, just to give you an example, where we are, which is in central Arizona, you can get a two-bedroom apartment in the East Valley of the Sun. Generally speaking, about $850, $900 a month. Sometimes $800. I don't know what you're paying where you are. I mean, or what people are paying where you are.
I own.
No idea. Okay.
What
but in any event.
Rent is probably.
Yeah.
Probably in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Or I can remember the days in Arizona paying. I remember having rent on a very nice, it was a one bedroom with vaulted ceilings and all that. $4.50.
Mm-hmm. Times have changed.
I sound like the proverbial old man.
That's right.
I can remember when.
That's right. You sound so old you could almost be me. Anyway, so the mobile homes that I offer that are two bedrooms, generally I can rent out for about $585 a month.
Do you flip any of them or do you just rent them?
I've done it once and it was accidental. And by that, in, just so no one misunderstands, when Rick is talking about flipping them and I said it was accidental, I don't mean I turned it over and made it break. I understand that interpretation was possible. Rather than that, he's talking about, as people do with real estate, buy, fix, and flip.
That was probably a poor choice of words. I apologize.
Yeah, right. That's all right. We're back to the hurricane situation with the mobile homes. Those may flip, but anyway.
It really blows when that happens.
That's right. In terms of the flip, no. What any fix and flipping in real estate, and this is an odd species of real estate. What that does is it creates cash. Nothing wrong with cash. I'm highly in favor of it, especially if it's in my pocket. But it doesn't really create ongoing wealth. Wealth, as is defined by, for example, Kiyosaki in the Rich Dad Poor Dad books, talks about having something that is an asset that will continue producing income. So, let's say, for example, you make $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 by selling a mobile home that you bought and fixed, whatever. You have that cash, but it's not going to continue producing income except, you know, for a small amount of interest in the bank or something, unless you reinvest it. So when you're first starting, there's nothing wrong with that because then you get to sell it. I mean, you get to reinvest it, rather, in something that will produce wealth. But the one time I actually did it, as I say, it was kind of accidental. I had bought it with the idea. At that time, I was selling it with financing. And I had bought it with the idea of selling it and taking payments. When you do that, as the book outlines, you can get generally around 12% interest, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's not usury or anything. And the situation was, is the person I was going to sell it to with financing said to me, and I had, by the way, priced it higher than I had, you know, bought it, obviously. And she said, "Do you mind if I just pay you cash?" So I said, "Okay." And in that one situation, I had basically doubled my money. But that's unusual.
Tell
us, I don't know if that answers
how,
your question.
Yeah, very clearly.
Okay.
Tell us how you, if there is an us, but you need a drum machine so you can get all these rim shots in there.
That's right, that's right.
Tell us how you went about your very first purchase. Tell us about that story.
Okay. Basically, I had been involved in looking for, and in fact, finding real estate to invest in. This goes back about 5 years. And a partner and I had bought a house and a condo. She decided to leave the field, and she kept the house and later sold it, and I still have the condo, which I rent. But in the meantime, I wanted to get into something else, and I live in a mobile home, so it occurred to me that that would be an ideal way to go because I knew something at that point about pricing, but I had little or no cash. And so what I did was I decided I would, if I could buy a house and sell it with financing, that would be the way to produce income. That was before I started renting them. In any event, because I didn't have a lot of money and I didn't want to take a chance on buying something and then being stuck with it, I came up with the idea of the option. And most people are familiar with options in other areas, like an option on stocks, or some Hollywood star signs a contract on the studio, if there were still studios, has an option to renew or not renew. This is a little different. You pay, or in this case I, paid $100 to a guy for the right, but didn't have the obligation, for the right to buy his mobile home at the price he was offering it at. And I had that exclusive right for 30 days. I just paid him $100 for that. He went for it. And within that 30 days, I had found a buyer who paid me a down payment, which I used as part of the cash to pay off the seller. And then he basically made payments on the price I had up and up the price and charged 12% a year interest. And that's how I did it. As it turns out, that fella left the house. He moved back to somewhere in the Midwest. And I had to resell it, which I did. And by the time he left, I had pretty much made my money back already. So now everything I get is kind of gravy.
I guess this would be a lot clearer if I bought the book.
Yes, or if you read the excerpt, which you can find, again, at tinyurl.com. I'm sorry. Yes, tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire.
What was that again, Jeff?
Thank you for asking. It's tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire. At that site, you get to take a look at about 20 pages of the book, which is in PDF form. And I don't know which portions they excerpted, if any of them are the option, that, again, would become clear. Also in the book, by the way, we provide forms. But anyway, that's basically it. And, you know, enough of my hustling the book. But that's pretty much how I started. And then I did a couple of more of those kinds of deals before realizing that it was crazy to finance instead of renting, because you make much more money renting. And the problem with financing is, let's assume you sell it with financing for 5 years. If the unusual should happen and the person complies completely with the contract and pays it off, in 5 years you've lost your income.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whereas if you rent, that income goes on forever. Now, it also entails certain management issues and, you know, and some expenses and repair, but those are relatively few. So that's
finance.
That answers it. Go
the
ahead.
Finance you're talking about is just bank financing.
No. You're the bank. The seller. I'm the bank. I'm the Bank of America, or, you know, the Bank of France, whatever. But what happens is
that's true.
The
you're in a lot of trouble now.
That's right. Or it could be the Bank of Scotland, which would really be a problem. What I did in that first house, which is a good example, is I paid, $7,000-$8,000 for the house, sold it for the nominal price.
So you had the $7,000 or $8,000 cash, correct?
Yeah, I did. Did have that. Now, there's, again, ways in the book that are outlined. If you don't have cash, I've actually since done this. I've actually bought a house on credit card that I rent out. But that was a less expensive house, but you can do it. And the math gets a little complicated, but instead of your return being 48%, which is the more common situation, your return on investment is actually infinite because you're not laying any money out of pocket. Say again, please.
I said it wasn't a Sears card, was it?
I don't know. Yes, I think it may have been. Why?
very high interest rate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't know. I really don't know what card it was. I was going to say, would that make me a Sears sucker? But anyway.
Oh.
Again,
the need for the drum machine.
It becomes clearer and clearer, doesn't it? Anyway,
I think it might be time for a commercial break.
It would, but there are no commercials. This is Blog Talk Radio.
Who is your sponsor?
I am. Well, there you go. Let me change subjects to hustle another project, if I may, which I was going to be talking about until you interrupted with your phone call. And by telling you, I'm going to be telling our mass audience as well. If a person or company has a website but is not blogging, they're missing a good bet. Are you, since I've got you, Rick, and can play off of you, do you know how websites go up on searches when someone does a Google search?
Why, you know, no, Jeff? Could you explain it to me, please?
Well, one of the elements, not talking about ads now, just the way it comes up, is
Are you talking about web crawlers?
Well, yeah, but what web crawlers look for is the following. Let's assume for the moment you have a website. Go ahead.
Is it porn?
Yeah, right, whatever it is. Let's assume you have a website. I'm sorry?
That's what they look for, porn.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm afraid not. That's a different kind of crawler, I'm afraid. But anyway, if you've got a website, that's right. If you've got a website that's called Rick.com,
okay.
And I have a website or a blog, or you have a blog, and it mentions in the blog, if you want to read something fascinating, go to Rick.com. Every time someone links to your website, it increases, sometimes very incrementally, but it does increase your position, your height, if you will, when someone does a relevant search in Google.
Mm-hmm.
So if you blog, in addition to whatever else I might do with my blog or my website, if you blog, say, every 2 weeks, and in each episode or each installment of your blog, you mention Rick.com, then Google is going to push up your website when someone does a search for fools in Florida with websites, for example, as an illustration. And
don't
so
piss
that,
me off, Bill. I'm your only
okay.
listener. So.
And my only caller. So, I mean, this gives you special status, yeah. So anyway, that's basically what it is. And so if someone has a business and has a website, but they're not blogging, they're missing a bet.
Are you on Facebook as well? I would think
not yet. We're working on that. But in
you
the
are,
meantime,
actually you are because I just posted you on my page.
Okay, well thank you. In the meantime, what I was going to say is if someone wishes to see the more information about the blogging and what I'm offering, basically what I'm offering is to write your company's blog every 2 weeks, very inexpensively, and one of the reasons for the low monetary cost is because I'm going to have on your blog a link to my book website, which I've talked about before, which is tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire. And that gives me an additional advantage, which is why I can afford to write your blog inexpensively. Anyway, that's it. That's the pitch. And if you want to see that, if you want to see the place where I've spelled out with greater clarity the advantages to blogging, it would be Jeff, J-E-F-F, on blogging.blogspot.com.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I know there I went. I'm done with that. I mean, that's it. So that's basically what that's about.
It's a the cost is low because essentially you're both advertising each other's what's the Latin term I'm trying to think of?
A quid pro quo, perhaps?
Thank you.
I don't know if that's what you
That is exactly what I was trying to
say. Okay. Lucky guess. The last thing you said didn't come through.
I'm saying I don't know what I'd do without you. That is exactly what I was thinking of. A quid pro quo, and say that 5 times fast.
That's right. That. No, a quid pro quo is actually Latin for you scratch my back, I scratch your back.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. Well, it's not just that. Yes, I would feature. In fact, I have a blog that I have done. Which I won't give the URL for now because it's listed on my site that I just gave, which is jeffonblogging.blogspot.com, for the unlikely person who is both interested and missed it the first 7 times. but on there you can click to the blog spot that I have done for someone already, the blog, rather, I've done for someone already, which mentions his company's website. And so you can see an example of how it's done. So when I have every time I have a no, actually it's not. It's a fellow here in town that you would not know. But that's the basic idea. And so again, if someone's interested, they can do that. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the way you are asking questions, and I know that you don't know the answers to most of them. That is, you don't know what I'm going to say. Frankly, neither do I, but really is acting as, on some old radio shows that used to be done, is acting in the function of like a producer. What they used to do in some old talk radio formats is there would be somebody like an author or a doctor or someone who had the show on every week, but they would have somebody who had some experience in radio asking them questions and guiding people to do certain things, while the person who was the supposed expert just answered questions.
Here I thought it was just witty banter.
Well, there's that too. I thought it was Woody Guthrie. Oh, witty, yes, you're right. In any event, that basically is
or
that.
Shit.
Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I was.
You're pausing.
It was a self-deprecating, not self-abusing.
Okay, good, because the deprecating is okay, but the other stuff will make you, of course, go blind.
So were you as on a serious note?
Yes.
Were you as touched by the loss of the senator as I was?
Yeah. Going back a million years, as a kid, I worked on the Bobby Kennedy campaign. Okay.
You're
so
that old?
Yeah, I am. I was a kid, but yes, I am. I mean, remember, that was 1968.
I realized the other day, Jeff, that there has not been a single year in my whole lifetime, there hasn't been
right.
a single day in which Ted Kennedy was not in the Senate.
That's right, because you're young enough.
I am.
What year were you born?
67.
Yeah. He had already been in the Senate for essentially 5 years. It's more like four, but yeah. In fact, they talk about him entering the Senate in 1962. That was actually the election. It doesn't start until the next year,
mm-hmm.
the term. But yeah, that's right. All of your life until a couple of days ago when he died. He's been. Yeah. And by the way, the same thing is true of Robert Byrd. You know,
Byrd,
he may have been the.
Yeah, I think Byrd and there's only one other.
Strom Thurmond.
This Thurmond, right. They're
yeah, but he's not around anymore, thankfully.
Right. I was going to say that they're the only two who had longer tenures in the Senate than Ted Kennedy.
Right. Yeah. And so that's one good guy and two former segregationists. But in any event, so it was
uh-huh.
it. Yeah, that's right. No, the thing is, it was sad, and it was sad for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that on the other side of that that coin, as it were, is that again, like with any other famous person who dies, the news channels are doing it, if you'll forgive me, to death. You know,
I guess I've been avoiding.
Right.
I know that they were doing several features and specials on Kennedy and
right.
three of them, but I guess I just have avoided it because I haven't had that same feeling that
yeah.
that Michael
no,
had
I understand.
The feeling that you had. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and the thing was, I mean, just one example is when, I guess it was yesterday morning, I got into the office and turned on the computer and went to the web, and my homepage is CNN. And only because the porn sites are unavailable, of course. But anyway, I went to CNN, and I beg your pardon. I was on the way into work. I was listening to the radio, and I heard about Ted Kennedy having died. And, of course, that was not a surprise to any of us, but it was, you know, still sad to hear. I got to the office and did the aforementioned view of CNN, and it said, continuing coverage of Senator Kennedy's death.
Ted Kennedy is still dead.
Exactly. And, that phrasing struck me as, you know, rather, what's the word, macabre. But that's what they do. And that's not a criticism specifically of CNN. It's all of them. All of the
well,
news channels, all of the newspapers.
It's the whole 24-hour news cycle. There's
uh-huh.
They have to fill it with something. So,
yeah,
when there's an event that
mm-hmm.
takes up all of the coverage.
That's right. And the fact is, whether it's Michael Jackson or Ted Kennedy or David Carradine, the fact is that who didn't get as much coverage for a different reason. But what happens is Americans, as Americans, we are so into celebrity. And in the case of Ted Kennedy, there's more than that. But nonetheless, that's part of it. We are so into celebrity that we are as interested in these people as if they were our family members, or in some cases, more than we would be of our family members. You know, it's
this whole time. This whole time you're talking for the last 30 seconds, I'm trying to think of a good "he choked" joke for David Carradine, and I'm blanking. I know it's there.
Yeah, right.
It's just not coming to me. Well, there it is.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, David Carradine story, you know, that I liked was, you know, that when they walked in and they saw that he was hung.
Hey, you know what I've been meaning to ask you is that,
yes, sir.
You know Ted Kennedy just passed away. Who will the next two be? Because as you know, these things always happen in threes. And if there is anyone listening, that's an in joke. And
yeah,
that's right. Well, you should do that on your radio show. But
that's all right.
And
as you say, no. the possibility, since you just asked, occurs to me that in the political realm, the guy we just mentioned, Robert Byrd,
mm-hmm.
I think the only reason he's still living is that his liver is preserved, having been pickled. Now, you know, I like Byrd's politics. That is, his politics in 2009, not his politics in 1949. But I like his politics. But the fact is, he's, to put it delicately, an old drunk.
And you
go ahead.
You and I did, this is going back a few years, and
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you still have it. But do you remember, and speaking of macabre, this certainly
yeah.
falls into that category. Do you remember our death list that we did in the office?
Yes, yes.
Deadpool.
That's right. Right. Rick and I used to work together, and the two of us, along with one other guy, created a list. Yeah, that's right. We created a list of those celebrities we thought would die, and in what order. I probably have it in my computer, frankly, but I don't know that for sure. But it was really bizarre because you know, there was a discussion about you know, the celebrity, you know, the whole thing about celebrity deaths and how much cover. Even then, and this is going back a long time, as you said, it got a lot. Those kinds of things got a lot of coverage. So I don't know. I'm sure it was before George Burns died. I don't know if it was before or after Bob Hope. But you know, one of the things that
George,
you know,
Burns
one of
was on the list.
I know that. As I say, it was before George Burns died. And when he died, he was like 100.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And oh, as a matter of fact, that's right. He was 100. And the reason I remember that is because he used to joke that he had to live beyond 100 years old because he was booked on his 100th birthday to perform, and he couldn't do it because he was sick.
I think, did he make it to 100? I thought he was late.
He lived to 100, but he was very unhealthy on his 100th birthday, and he died like shortly after that. By the way, there seems to be I think my wife had mentioned this earlier to me. There seems to be a rather large percentage of people who die within a month of their birthday, either side. Okay? And, you know,
okay,
examples...
That sounds about on the same level as they die in threes.
The only reason it does is because if you think about it, it covers a quarter of the year. All right? 30 days before my birthday to 30 days after my birthday is 90 days. Right? Oh, no, it isn't. It's 60 days. Okay, so I take it back. It's only 1/6 of the year, 16%. No, I don't know. It just seems that there is, you know, when you hear about people dying, not necessarily famous people, that a rather larger than random selection would, so a random distribution would suggest, die around their birthday.
Hmm.
You know, within 30 days.
Okay. I don't know how to comment on that.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, and of course... You know, I don't know what it means. Hey, let me ask you a question. What's your feeling if you have one on this, I don't know if you do, about the legitimacy, not necessarily the politics, but the legitimacy of the Blue Dog Democrats.
Oh, I'm all against it.
Okay. Well, then I'll share my opinion. And just briefly, by the way,
well,
we
no,
have...
No. I will
please
share an opinion, because they, frankly, they piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
You can't say the word off on radio, you know. But go on.
I can't say pissed off on radio?
You can say pissed. You can't say off. Go on.
Oh. Well, it's a good thing we're not on radio.
It really is. Go on.
Yeah. You know, let them go be Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It's cut off the Democratic Party. Should not provide them with any. They're not doing a goddamn thing for the party. So, you know, why allow them to be such a shaping, such an
negative
influencing force,
yeah,
and negative force on the party when they're not contributing anything to it in the first place? They may as well just go and be Republicans.
Yeah. By the way, before I respond to that, I want to, in the approximately 13 minutes we have left, if anyone is listening and wishes to call in, the fact that Rick is on the phone with me and the conversation is interesting, at least to us, don't let that prevent you from calling in should you choose to do so.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
You haven't had a single phone call?
Yes, I have. It's yours. Well, as I said, the only person I let know about the show tonight besides my wife was you. And so you are in rare company. Getting back to the dogs. See, I don't think what you said is entirely, my opinion, obviously, because that's what it is entirely correct. Because I think that they're not really conservative. And the proof of that is that they all voted in favor of the confirmation of Sonia Sotomayor as Justice of the Supreme
so
Court.
So that makes them not conservative?
Well, yeah.
Let's be clear on something. The whole, this predilection we have with labeling, this one is liberal and this one's conservative, I have an issue with that, because if we run down the issues, there are some that I would fall into one category, and others I would fall into another category.
Likewise.
I think using, and no offense to you, but I think using those terms has become almost kind of a sloppy shortcut.
I agree with you.
Real discussion and real debate. You ask me what issues, for example, on gun control issue.
Right.
I would fall into what would normally be described as the right side, the right wing of the issue. But on most other social issues, whether it's abortion.
No. Yeah, we agree on that.
I would fall. Yeah. Okay. So So then, how would you then be labeled? Would you be called a conservative? Would you be called a liberal? It's become a, just like I said, it's just become a sloppy shorthand, and it's become a way of stifling any real discussion or any real debate. Look out.
No, I agree.
Anytime anyone ever says to you, well, speaking as a conservative.
Yeah.
Or
well, the fact is, I understand, but the fact is that, yes, they are, it's the kind of verbal shortcut that is a substitution for thinking. I agree with that. But it also makes clear certain amounts of discussion that would be impossible were it not for that. But let me finish the thought as to why I think what I think relative to what their politics are or politics is. Anyway, here's where it is. They voted in favor of Justice Sotomayor, who was perceived, correctly or incorrectly, as being left of center. Okay? I have a feeling there may be some difficulty with that when it comes to abortion, frankly, but leaving that alone. And if they were truly, you know, more correctly in the Republican camp, they probably would have voted against her. The reason I think that they're voting or resisting health care financing reform has nothing to do with politics. I think it's about money.
Well, the two are are
inextricably linked. Yeah,
intertwined. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that's any great revelation.
No, I understand. But there was no money to be gained in voting against Sotomayor.
They're playing to exactly.
Yeah.
They're playing to their base. They come from districts. They come from areas that do tend to lean right. And to continue getting the money that they're getting, and they're in the pockets of the insurance companies, and we know that.
Yeah.
It all interplays together. It's all connected, and it's not really a question of liberal versus conservative. It's a question of loyalty to the Democratic Party, and doing what's right, or doing what's in their own self interest. And what happened is you've got this small group, these blue dogs, and they're acting against the interests of the party, which in this case is against the interests of the country too.
Well, yeah, so I certainly agree with all of that.
Kick the mothers out.
Yeah, the only problem right now is if you kick them out in terms of the Senate, there are enough of them that you would end up, unfortunately, with a Republican majority.
Yeah, well, I'm just seeing a whole hell of a lot of difference right now.
Well, no, but that makes a big difference, because then it determines who appoints the chairs of the committees, and that's a big deal in terms of getting legislation out.
Well, I'm not saying throw them out and replace them with Republicans. I'm saying start putting up some real primary challenges. Too many of these guys go unchallenged, and the National Party doesn't support the challenger, and they just almost automatically get the nomination. And
no, I understand.
On the rare occasion when they are challenged, look what happened in the Lieberman race.
Yeah.
So,
you're exactly right. Yeah, you just heard a crash in the background. My cup fell. But
that was your mobile home.
We just flipped another one. But no, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying if you end up kicking them out, and I agree with you in terms of primary challenges. You know, there is an analog in the FDR years. In the FDR years, there were Democrats in the South, later referred to as Dixiecrats, who were very anti-New Deal. And they had enough, and of course the New Dealers had enough power, they actually did run candidates against them not in primaries, but they basically got them nominated in their districts and in their states, pro-New Dealers, and it made all the difference. But, you know, I don't think they're in a position to do that now.
That's what they need. That's what needs to be done now. That's what they need to focus on.
Yeah, I agree.
There's just no excuse at this point for not getting this thing passed and getting it passed with a public option.
Absolutely. Otherwise, there's not a whole lot of point.
No, it's pointless.
Exactly. Although I'd really prefer a slightly different plan, which is also a public option. We don't have a lot of time now. We've got about 6 minutes left, which involves extension of Medicare. So you're really talking
Medicare
about
Medicare to everybody.
Yeah, and you know, and as a matter of fact, the whole strategy is that they should have started with universal Medicare, and then compromised by saying, okay, let's phase it in with older people first and children, and then moving it back to the middle. But that's another story for another time. I'm going to let you go because we've got about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to use that to finish up based on the three people who are listening.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Mine. Thanks very much for calling. You made it much more tolerable.
I think
for anyone who's – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said I think you had a great premiere. And
thank you.
I think your ratings they're just going to go nowhere but up.
One can only hope. Anyway, thanks very much, and I'll talk to you soon. And for anybody else who's listening, that was Rick, and hopefully we'll hear from him again in future shows. Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, Jeff.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye. And for the and I think I hung up. I'm trying. Let's see what I can do here. All right. In any event, we have a few minutes left. I just want to thank everybody who has I want to thank everybody who has been listening, both of you. And next week, as said, we're going to be covering some other issues in terms of politics. Also, we are probably, hopefully, going to have someone on who's going to be talking to us about gadgets in terms of recording LPs. To CDs and or MP3s, as we fronted at the beginning of the show. If you want to make note of it for next week, next week, by the way, you'll be starting 30 minutes later. That'll be 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern, and still, of course, on for the full hour. So that has to do with the mechanics of Blog Talk Radio rather than my desire. In any event, that's it. So if you want to join us live next week, our phone number, if you want to mark it down so that you can call in next week, is area 347-994-3796. I want to thank Rick, thank anybody else who's listening, and just also urge you to possibly, if you have an interest in political and or risque T-shirts, let me invite you to go also visit Zazzle, Zazzle.com/, mobile, MOBILE, and peculiar, that is mobile and peculiar, one word, Zazzle.com/mobile and peculiar. We never stop selling, we never stop hustling, but you get commercials on regular radio anyway, so it's not much different from that. Also next week we'll talk more about health and vitamins and supplements. And I should also mention I'm a certified hypnotist, so we may be able to talk about that. Of course, I may also be able to hypnotize some more people into listening to the show. That's basically it. I'm Jeff Bushman. The show is Speaking of Everything, and we will do that. I am going to talk for another minute or two because the time is available and we don't want to just have dead air. But at some point in time, I may be cut off by virtue of the clock, in which case I invite you again to join us next week. Also, remember tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire for the book and jeffonblogging.blogspot.com for the blogging service. Meantime, one of the things that I wanted to urge you to do is to eat less meat, more vegetables and fruits and grains. You'll be healthier, and you won't have to worry as much about healthcare financing and healthcare reform. If you do, however, want to let someone know, call the White House and call your senator and call your Congress representative to let them know that you want health care reform with a public option. If you're not sure who your senator or your congressional representative is, call your local League of Women Voters. They'll let you know. And, in fact, they may give you the number at the Capitol. So that you can call and be connected directly to your senator or your congressional representative. The clock says we have a minute left, and if the full minute lasts, I will tell you again that this is Jeff Bushman. The show is Speaking of Everything. If you want to see it, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Jeff Bushman, and you can see the show notes and the show's website, and then next time you can call in at 347-994-3796. And the reason I'm hemming and hawing is because I'm not sure exactly when we're going to be cut off, so I obviously don't want to start a new subject. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the hour. Part of that is because I got to talk to my old friend in front of all of you who are listening. Again, not knowing how many that is. So if you're so inclined, please feel free to call us next week. It's Speaking of Everything, health, jazz, gadgets, politics, blogging, business, mobile homes. And we now have 60 seconds. you know, it's pretty easy to fill an hour. It's kind of tough to fill 60 seconds. let me just give that Blogspot address again. For blogging, it's jeffonblogging.blogspot.com. Also, I do have a blog on the mobile home business, and that'll also lead you to the website on the book, and that is, mobilemillionaire, as if it's one word, .blogspot.com. And I hope you'll find those things enjoyable, and we'll choose to drop us a note. If you'd like to email us, it's JB720, that is JB720, at Cox, C-O-X, .net. And thank you again for joining us. We have a few seconds, so good luck. Have a good week. See you next time. Half an hour later.